Hello, welcome to Good Games Well Played, episode 127. I'm Clint, aka JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
Izzy, unfortunately, is having some brownout issues, so he's not going to join just in case his power goes out. But yeah, starting with the news from this week, PlayStation Plus Extra will be losing 8 games in September from the catalog. So it'll be losing Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, Watch Dogs 1 and 2, Death and Request 2, Deathloop, Chicory, Colorful Tale, Through the Darkness of Times, and Nidhogg 2. They'll be leaving, again, on September 19th. So if you haven't played those games, you know, go ahead and play them ahead of time. Because obviously they're, much like Game Pass, you know, games will fall off rotation. But, I mean, at this point, people hopefully play Deathloop. Keeping it with consoles, Xbox has introduced a new enforcement system that aims to curb bad behavior. I kind of went over it, and basically there's like multiple strikes and that people can get on accounts, and then, you know, different severities of violations. So in a blog post, the Xbox CVP of Player Services, Dave McCarthy, detailed the new program. This is a report from IGN. Players found violating Xbox community standards will receive a strike, which will stay on your record for 6 months before it's removed. Severity of the violation determines the number of strikes and the length of the punishment. There's an illustration that they also included so they can kind of show like, hey, this is how it's going to work. If a player receives 8 total strikes, their account will be suspended from using Xbox social features like party chat and online multiplayer for 1 year. However, single player experiences will remain unaffected and no purchase content will be stripped from suspended players. And then, yeah, they go on to say, you know, quote, McCarthy says, we are constantly improving our safety measures and bringing more systems and tools in place to empower players to respectfully interact with one another, because anyone deserves a place to comfortably be themselves online, free from harassment and bullying, end quote. So it's curious to see how it goes. Obviously, they did say it's not going to be, you know, system automated. It will be individually reviewed by moderation teams. Mm-hmm. You know, that's obviously you wouldn't want that, because it's just going to be automated. We've seen how automated systems can totally bork stuff all the time, especially on YouTube with strikes and whatnot. Who knows how well it'll do, but it's something, I suppose.
Yeah, curious to see if it's actually going to work and if people are going to reveal just how many Smurf accounts they actually have for specific online experiences, I think, because somebody somewhere is going to brag like, oh, I got all 5 of my accounts banned from Xbox Live. Like, mm-hmm. That's not the flex that you think it is, but we appreciate you outing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just create, because PlayStation's like, you can create any number of profiles as long as one person has, you know, PlayStation Plus to play online, you can just play online on that console. So it's mm-hmm. like, if you're going to go be a jerk about it. But of course, like, I feel like the people who are the most toxic are also competitive in the game they play. So I feel mm-hmm. like they wouldn't want their stats to be on, you know, a Smurf account necessarily, but because they want to like flex like they're so good. Yeah, it'll be interesting, because, you know, they, a lot of things like, oh, you got to report something, you can capture audio, but not every, you can't capture all audio from someone. Like in party chat, obviously you shouldn't be playing with someone in party chat if they're a total douche or whatever, but like in in-game chat, like it's, you can't capture the in-game audio when you do like a game recording. It won't capture that. Depending on how the audio is routed. If you're using like a headset and the audio from the VoIP is going in the headset and not out your TV, then it won't, your place, like for PS5 anyways, like it won't capture that chat from inside the game unless you did some like special capturing, or you're using your own like Elgato capture or whatever. So it's hard to get people there all the time. But I hope it goes well, because I see all the time on like Apex, just like, or, well, not just Apex, but like online games, for people to say like the most out of control stuff. And it's like, okay, sure, you report them to Apex or to whatever game company, but it's mm-hmm. like that kind of behavior should stack to the console. Like, it should be like, hey, this person, look what they're saying, this racist crap. Send it to, report them for abuse to Respawn for like Apex, and then also goes to Microsoft to be like, look at this. They mm-hmm. should be working together. But, yep, we'll see how it goes. And then we also have Epic Games is expanding their cross-play developer tools. They said here that they announced in a blog post that they're making their cross-play overlay that they introduced last summer available to initial support on games on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles and Switch, and while expanding capabilities on other things as well. And they say it here, quote, "The crossplay overlay offers a ubiquitous way to authenticate players, streamline friend management, and provide game invite and joinability functionality that's designed to be compliant with native platform requirements. Crossplay enables bigger games, bigger audiences, and growth for the global games industry. The added support for the major console platforms, Epic Online Services now enables you to connect more players with a single overlay." So yeah, I mean, it's good. They've obviously been one of the early ones to do crossplay with Fortnite, where they, oops, we accidentally turned it on. You know, back in the day when PlayStation was very much like, meh, in a bad spot. But so yeah, it's good to see that they're expanding those tools for devs. Then we got the announcement that Alan Wake 2 will be delayed by 10 days. They said to avoid some of the games. So instead of coming out on October 17th, it's going to come out on the 27th. So it was going to release right before Spider-Man 2 that week. It's going to, like, that Tuesday and Spider-Man comes out on Friday. But now it's coming out on the 27th, which at least is closer to Halloween, I suppose, for a spooky game. But yeah, it's a, I guess that's fine. Because yeah, I depending on how long it was, I guess I wouldn't have finished it. Well, I would have wanted to play Spider-Man 2 first anyways. Mm-hmm. So I probably would have waited to play Alan Wake 2, but I am looking forward to that game. I know Izzy's a little bummed. And then I saw that they're making a Slime Rancher movie.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Slime Ranchers, this report from IGN, is heading to the big screen with its own movie adaptation. According to Deadline, the popular sandbox game from Monomi Park is being adapted into a feature film as a joint venture with Story Kitchen. Let's see. However, blah, blah, I'm trying to see. As for the film, it looks as though there's no director attached just yet, and it's unclear how far Slime Rancher is along in production, but apparently it is happening. Or happening, not happening. Let's see. Still, it's pretty good hands. Story Kitchen was founded by John Wick creator Derek Kolstad, as well as Sonic the Hedgehog producer Dimitri Johnson and former APA agent Mike Goldberg. Let's see. They've already built up an interesting catalog with Tomb Raider and Splinter Cell TV adaptations currently in production. Story Kitchen is also bringing the hugely popular Vampire Survivors to TV with an upcoming animation. So, like, they're just like, hey, Vampire Survivors has no story. Let's make a show out of it. And then let's do Slime Rancher. Like, I guess is there a story in Slime Rancher?
I was just going to say, I didn't know there was any kind of story to Slime Rancher. But yeah, if they're making a Vampire Survivors show or movie, I guess they can just make up whatever they want. But is it going to be like, is it going to be animated? Or
I'd assume,
because it has a very distinct style that is like, right, you can notice it right away. It would be very weird if it was live action.
Yeah, I feel like it would have to be animated,
CG animated, or at least hand-drawn animated would probably be very cool, very cute. Yeah, I don't know if there's a story to it. Of course, those, like, there's a very kind of like popular, I don't know if it's like popular, if it's like niche popular subgenre in anime right now, that's like slice of life anime, kind of like, mm-hmm. Oh shit, what's it called? Dragon Miss Something's Dragon Maid or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, it's like little dragon women, but it's just like a slice of life anime. So that kind of stuff is pretty popular right now. I guess you could do something like that. I don't know. If it's cute though, I'll watch it.
Yeah. And then you'll have to watch it and then report back and give us your review. And then moving on, I saw that none of us here play Call of Duty multiplayer, but I did this week. They announced, you know, did trailers for Modern Warfare 3. It's like, okay, whatever. But one thing I thought that was interesting is how they're reversing course on a lot of game changes that happened in Modern Warfare 2. So, like, one thing that used to be really popular in Call of Duty, you know, and you see it in other games as well, is that when a round ends, there would be map voting. So the players in the lobby would vote on the map you're going to play next. But mm-hmm. they got rid of that in Modern Warfare 2. It's like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And they also had some other tweaks. Like, typically, the way those games work, just like Battlefield and some other games, is like, if you shoot a weapon that is unsuppressed, your dot shows up on the minimap. So players nearby they hear you for one, but then they can also see you on the map. Be like, oh, someone's clear here. There's a threat. That's why running a suppressor or using a perk that hides you from that is beneficial. But they got rid of that entirely. So it's like, okay. And they changed some other stuff, the way perks work. It was like a really weird, like, why would you fix what wasn't broken situation that seemed really strange, even if someone who doesn't play Call of Duty anymore. And now they're just like going back. So like everyone's super happy about that. But it's like, yeah, what the hell? Why would you change it in the first place? Like it never seemed to make sense. And then the last bit of news is kind of sort of a bundle of Baldur's Gate news. So Larian is apparently working on a patch to allow players to change the companion's in-game appearance. So right now, like if you find a companion, you can't change it. Like they look the way they look. So I guess now they're allowing you to do that. I'm curious what kind of freedom they'll allow. If it's like keep the same body style, but maybe you can change like hair, skin, makeup, stuff like that. So at least they're still distinct, I suppose.
Or at least the same race or whatever. And their same like, because isn't the tiefling, she has like a broken horn or something like that? Keeping their distinct features.
No, I'm assuming it's just going to be changing certain cosmetic looks like hair, tattoos, makeup, stuff like that. I'm sure it won't be like you can't change the tiefling to be an entirely different race. It's like, okay, you can at least change some things, different shade of the skin or whatever. But yeah, I was fine, whatever. Like when I played Divinity Original Sin, I usually play as one of the main characters. I don't roll a new character. So I'll like, okay, I'll be the Red Prince or I'll be Sabil. And I usually don't change any things. Like the Red Prince, I might change, like they have different, like, well, not hair because he's a lizard, but like different lizard styles. And I'll like go through some of those, but he's still like the Red Prince. And then same for Sebel. She's still, you can change her hair, but you know, she's still her. So I'm sure they'll do something very similar to that. And then they also did announce the preload times for PlayStation 5, as well as some more early access information. I'll see if I can. The Digital Deluxe Edition will allow you to preload the game on August 31st, and then the standard preload happens on September 4th. And they're staggered because the Deluxe Edition gets early access, so you can play it on September 2nd. And of course, the game launches like normal on September 6th. And they did something. I'm surprised they didn't do the one thing I thought was really cool they did, and we've talked about this before, is Divinity Original Sin 2. When that came to console, they released Act 1 in like August, and you could play all of it. And then if you pre-ordered the game, and then the game launched, I think in late September, October. It was like you can play like the whole Act 1 super early, and Act 1's got a lot of content in it. Surprised they didn't do something like that. But I think that's because they kind of want to, all the patches they're doing now on PC are going to be applied to PlayStation once it comes out there. So that's that's probably why they don't release right now. They're thinking, hey, let's, you know, patch what needs to be patched, you know, do whatever balance changes need to be done to fix stuff. But and then again, I saw this weird thing, this take. So there's this character in Baldur's Gate 3 called Lysel. You meet them early on. They're in the ship that you're on. They're like, you come across them. Like, you're going to come across them. They're the Githyanki. And you find them later in, once you, you know, get into Act 1, you can help them and whatnot. But they're, you know, they join your party early. So it's like, okay, they're one of the first, like, you find Shadowheart, like, right away when you, after the crash. And then depending on how you walk, you usually can find Will or a Gale pretty early, and then you can find, come across to Lysel. And she's like, her race is very much like no nonsense. Like, it's so funny because they're like the in-game voice of, we don't have time for this. More important things are going on. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not do the side quest. We got to get these tadpoles out of our brains kind of stuff. So it's like, anytime you try to do something, someone wants some help, she's always very much like, we don't have time to be doing this, yada yada, like very stern. She's also like very brutish and stuff, and direct to the point the way she talks. And like, she's a fine character, and I had her in my party the whole time. But once I found she was just happened to become my first romance character as well, which is interesting. Her and then Shadowheart. But yeah, once I found Karlach, I was like, oh, I found Karlach so late. I was like, okay, they're both kind of DD. So damage dealers. So I was like, okay, I don't want to have two damage dealers. I kind of want to keep my party a nice mix of me being the ranger. I have my cleric. I have my sorcerer. And then my fighter is like, okay, well, I ran with Lysel for a while, for the bulk of Act 1. And then I found Karlach and I switched over. And plus, like, she has a lot of tension with Shadowheart, because Shadowheart has, like, this... You see it, like, early on. Like, she has this artifact, which is, like, a Githyanki artifact that she found. And, yeah, she has her own quest line that she needs to keep it, whatever. But Lysel's very upset about that. So they're always at odds. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm going to... I want the cleric in my party. And it's like, yeah, you can obviously respect them if you wanted. But I was like, I kind of like keeping characters as the developers have them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, if Shadowheart's the cleric and Lysel's a fighter and Karlach is the barbarian, it's like, I'm going to replace Lysel with Karlach just for the time being. And I just got to another point in Act 2 where it's like, okay, this is this area I found. It's like, I should have Lysel. So at some point I need to go swap Karlach out, get Lysel, that way she could be there for the story. This is one of, like, her companion quests, and, like, plus she's Githyanki and there are other Githyanki there, so I can talk to them. But, like, I guess some people, like, because the way she talks and she's very, like, to the point and whatnot, is that I guess it is off-putting for some characters. But then mm-hmm. that prompted, like, I'm assuming you saw it, where, like, the co-creator of Dragon Age was saying, like, oh, if it was a male character, everybody would be totally fine.
And I'm yeah, I saw people talking about that lately.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't get that, because I'm like, I don't have a problem with her. Like, she's fine. Like, it's fun to have a character who's just like, no, we need to go. Mm-hmm. They're very straightforward and stuff. But it's like, the reason I dropped her wasn't because, like, oh, I can't stand this character. The back and forth between her and Shadowheart did kind of get, I was like, okay, you guys gotta knock it off. And there's, like, story stuff that happens. I mean, like, spoilers for Lysel and I'll get to it when I talk about what we're playing, but like, there's story stuff gonna happen, but I'm like, I don't got time for this, guys. You two need to stop bickering. But yeah, it's like, I just
already
swap. Yeah, right, just be friends, please. But so it's like, I feel like that can be tough, because people are like, oh, you have the cleric, and if you don't find Wither, the person who lets you respec or your character, it's like, okay, well, who do you want to keep? Do you want to keep the cleric in your party who has all the heals, or keep the one damage dealer, or swap them out for Karlach if you find Karlach early? So it's like, okay, it's like, I could see why. But yeah, anyways, so that, just, I guess there's some criticism towards that character, and they kind of have, like, I guess some memes about it. But yeah, then RPG devs probably just like, oh yeah, everybody seems to love it when there's, like, a total dick. Because one of the weird things is they talk about, oh, people love Asterion, though, but they don't like Lysel. I'm like, they're two totally different personalities. They're not the same. Mm-hmm. Like, Asterion is that traditional upper-class vampire, I have that air of I'm better than everybody, from a class perspective.
Which people lose their minds over.
Yeah, and then it's like, and Lysel has more like a, I don't have time for everybody else because my mission's more important than all of you, which is like, mm-hmm. It's not the same. And so I'm like, plus it's like, you got two different voices, and like, vampires have much more romanticism about them in, you know, media in general, not other dimensional aliens. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just so weird that they compare those two characters. Like, yeah, Asterion's a dick, but he's a dick in a different way. It's mm-hmm. like, she's just very, like, no-nonsense stuff. So it's just kind of weird that they have those hot takes that, like, if she was a guy, I'm like, it wouldn't have changed how I played use the character. I still would have swapped him for Karlach, because it's like, if they're still at odds with Shadowheart and I want the cleric, it's like, I got to swap out the damage dealer. But it was just a weird take.
I feel like there is a character like that in Dragon Age. And I want to say...
Yeah.
It's your starting command. What's his fucking name? Alistair? No.
There's they kind of say. Yeah, let's see.
He's like a knight or something, and he's very, like, hard to romance because he's very prim and proper, and like, we have a mission to do and we should do things by the book. Like, anytime you do any kind of decision that is, like, slightly crime-related, he's very disapproving and that kind of thing. And it's like, people weren't all up in arms about him.
Yeah, it's because they talk about like the reason some folks might have an issue with Lysel's, like the way the character is introduced. Like, mm-hmm. It's very much like you get introduced on the ship and getting like shit's going down. It's like very much we need to get out of here. And then you come across her later. Whereas like there's a similar character, Morrigan in Dragon Age Origins is kind of the same way, but you get introduced to them a little differently. So, yeah, it's like you make the character, you make the player like the character before showing the dark side, where this is like Lysel's very much like, nah. I'm this way and you can't help. And it's like, and even Shadowheart, like her character is very much like she worships like a god of pain and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not like she's a great person, even though she's soft spoken. Mm-hmm. The I can fix her meme, because that's what everybody says. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It was weird. I guess people just don't like someone who's so straight, like they know what they want. They want to get the tadpole out of their brain and get moving and not stop to smell the roses, I guess. I don't know.
Is so dumb, because if every character was just like, yeah, let's do all these side quests and help all these people and forget what we're mainly supposed to be doing, then it's just like there's no... It's good to have a character every once in a while that's like a real person that's like, hey, mm-hmm. I have a thing in my brain and I would like it removed, please.
Yeah, it's like that. That was what's so fun too. It's because I got like this. My initial party makeup was like it was me, and then I had Shadowheart is very, you know, kind of soft spoken, but she's got like I worship a, you know, a pain goddess or whatever, mm-hmm. and she has her secrets. And then I had Gale, who's very much like upbeat, and he's a really cool character. And then I had Lysel, who's like very much like. You know, like Klingon like and like, okay, I had this awesome mix of different personalities in my party. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't have everyone with me all at once. Like I'd love to have Karlach, and like I'm curious what it'd be like if I respec Lysel as the cleric and then ran with Lysel, Karlach, and Gale, and then see how Karlach and Lysel interact with each other. Because, yeah, it's just like there's too many fun characters. It's like, but that also leads to, okay, maybe I'll try something. You know, it's weird, too, because, like, some people also, I guess, I didn't see much of this. I saw it in, like, a tweet. So it's, like, one of those, I didn't see the thing. I saw the reaction to it kind of stuff in my recommended feed. And it was, like, someone, like, their opinion was, like, because I guess some folks are killing off, like, companions they don't like, so they don't have to worry about working with them anymore.
So stupid.
Which is weird, because I'm like, just leave them at camp. Like, you don't have to worry about them. They're just at camp. And also, it's like, just like, you're not supposed to like every character. Like, maybe something you don't like, you stick around, and then eventually you do like them. I mean, Tilu too, for example. So it's like, you know, but it's like, you can't just be like, nah, I don't like this. I'm getting rid of them. It's like, but it could lead to a, you know, you do a second playthrough and you play with all the characters you don't like. Like, I could see, like, running, I'll do a playthrough where it's, like, I'll use Will, who I don't use right now at all, and then I'll use Asterion, and then Lysel, and then we'll just all run around together, and then I'll see how everyone interacts. But, yeah, because, I go back, like, I'm really curious what an evil playthrough would be like. So I'm like, who are the characters that would be totally fine with me being evil? And I think Shadowheart would be fine, Asterion definitely would be fine, and then I guess Lysel would be okay? As long as what I'm doing, that's evil. Well, there are other secret companions you can unlock through the evil path. So I suppose there is that. But anyways, yeah, so that's the news. I'm looking forward to... They had like a hotfix go out recently. It's like hotfix 4, like apparently, but it caused some problems. And then they had to like roll it back. But if you had a save with the new hotfix, you couldn't do anything until they fixed it. Luckily, they... fixed it pretty quick, but they're now kind of relooking the way they're pushing updates. Like, okay, we're gonna kind of reevaluate how we're doing this, that way we don't have this problem again. But yeah, other than that, that's it for the news. I know Gamescom Open Night Live kicks off on Tuesday. There won't be anything like new. It's just gonna be all follow up on games we already know about. Jeff Keighley kind of tweeted like, "Here's all the games you're gonna see there," yada yada. So it's gonna be just more looks at stuff that we already know about. Nothing new. But I'll end up probably watching the trailers for all the new stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, check those out. But But yeah, we can go ahead and move on now to what we've been playing. Go start with you. I see you're in Core Keeper. You're playing Core Keeper all week?
Basically, yeah. There was like one day where I came home from work sick that I didn't, that we didn't play after I came home from work. But I come home from work and I eat, and then we play Core Keeper. And then that's what we did.
That's the life, man.
Pretty much all day yesterday, too. Just what we've been doing. We're fighting the like second stage of bosses, I guess. So it's been a lot of like, we have to farm materials to find these locators because the map is just so fucking gigantic. There's very little chance that you'll actually run into a boss or like an arena where you have to summon a boss just organically. So we have to farm these little locators, and then we have to farm up our gear and stuff like that, and just doing like little stuff in exploration and stuff like that too. So the map is just so fucking gigantic. You dig for like hours and run around for hours, and you'll have like a little pocket of the map uncovered. So that's pretty much all we've been doing. And then of course I'm still playing Star Rail, but that's like, I'm kind of caught up on that on the point now where I'm just farming things for all my characters, because I have, they need so many fucking materials to level up and to level up their traces and their relics, and that's just so much. And I'm determined to not just spend so much money on that game, so I have to do a lot of farming. But that's been pretty much all we've been playing.
Yeah. So is there an end game to that, or is it kind of one of those endless?
We don't know. We're getting kind of towards it. So there's like, it kind of breaks it up in stages. So there's like the beginning part of the game where there's these three idols, which are the three bosses you have to beat. And then once you beat those, it kind of opens up the rest of the map and the rest of the world. And then there are, after that, there are six bosses, three, I guess, like main ones and three sub bosses. And everyone that you beat gives you like a soul that gives you a little power up. Like right now we have one that every time we attack an enemy, there's a chance to spawn a little tornado. So they give you little bonuses like that. So once we do the three main bosses, I don't know if we also have to do the three sub ones, but we're going to obviously do them anyway. And then after that, we have no idea. I imagine it would just kind of keep going so that you could keep, you know, building up your little base and decorating and stuff like that. But as far as like end game content, I have no idea what's beyond that. And I'm sure there's other secret things we haven't really uncovered either, but we haven't really looked up a whole lot just because we are mostly discovering everything on our own. So if we do get to the end game, we'll probably look up and see if there's like secret bosses or secret areas to find and stuff like that to just find and explore. But it's been really fun just kind of discovering things on our own at this point. I mean, we've sunk almost 40 hours into it. Actual like gameplay, sometimes we leave it open so that our little farms can farm enemies and ore and stuff, but actual like play time, we're probably nearing about 40 hours just playing it constantly, and we're still not done. So who knows what is after this little tract of boss fights we're doing.
Yeah, well, hey, like I said, don't look up, just keep going, play it till you're, they're like, all right, time to move on. It'll be by the time I get it, I'm like, hey, let's play together. You're like,
okay. Yeah, I don't want to look up anything until we're done with these bosses, because this is obviously like the game tells you, hey, this is what you need to do next. So I either want to stumble across things as we're doing it, or wait until we're done and see like what we may have missed, or if there's things that we just happened to dig around and didn't quite discover on our own. So we'll see after that. But the stuff that we've discovered on our own has been pretty fun so far. I know that there has to be, so in the ocean area, we discovered this little like ruin, like a little dungeon temple thing that had like, at that point in the game, we hadn't really uncovered this like, I don't know, I guess it's spoilers for Core Keeper, but this like whole other side of stuff in the game. Like it's literally been like we're just digging and making tools and stuff like that, but we found like all this crazy kind of like ancient tech stuff, So it was really fun going through that. And then we found kind of like the center of it that had this item. And then we found an NPC that's like, hey, if you have two other items that are like that, so we're assuming that there are two other temples somewhere in the other biomes, but we haven't really come across them yet. So that's kind of something that we're keeping an eye out for too. So it's just like little stuff like that, like while we're looking for ores and while we're looking for the bosses and stuff like that, it's like, oh, I found another little temple thing in this different biome. Let's go through it and see if we can find the other items. So I imagine we will continue to sink lots and lots of time into this game. And yes, if anybody else would like to play this, I am totally not burned out on it, and I will farm you up a storm because I have so many food recipes that I can share with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun.
I have all the knowledge.
I am a master fisher at this point. I am fishing in lava. Thank you very much.
What? Lava fish?
I am fishing up lava fish. That's what I'm doing right now.
Man, I didn't bring it up just because it was not a news story, but like there was someone on Twitter who was like, because the Starfield like review codes have gone out. I believe the embargo goes up on the 31st, but like someone's like, man, the main menu's too simplistic, yada yada. And then I saw like a thread of like, it's like basically every Naughty Dog one, because like the one for Tealu 2 is just like the boat on the water, and it's just like press start. Even Tealu 1 is just the window. Uncharted 4 is just a skeleton in a cage hanging by the stuff. Like, they're very simple. Like, there's so many simple designs. Like, what the hell do you want from the main screen, man? You need, like, ads blasted at you? It's just a weird take. It's like, it's one of those things that I would never see some nobody say if other people in the game industry didn't comment on it. And I feel like that's a lot of stuff. Like, it's like that, it's the Bo Burnham joke, the backlash to the backlash to the thing that's just begun. And it's like you never see it. I never see these people with the bad takes. I just see people who comment on the one dude with the bad take.
Yeah, it's like I've never seen the main character of Twitter for the day, but I have seen everybody talking about the main character of Twitter for the day.
So. That's right. I just playing Baldur's Gate, played a bunch of it last night. Didn't play a ton of it over the week, played like a little bit each night and like streamed some of it. Played some Oni the other day as well. That game just, I keep getting the itch. I'm like, oh man, I kind of just want to play Ash, not included. Like it's trying to pull me away from playing. Like I could stream this game and not play Baldur's Gate, but it's like, I try to only play that like on Wednesdays is like one of the days I don't work out after I'm done working. So I'm like, okay, I got like an hour until the baby gets home with the wife. She picks him up from daycare. I'm like, okay, I'll just relax and like play some. And then I just stop playing once he gets home. I was just like, oh, I'll play some Oni. And that game's just so good. But man, it's like every time I roll a new planet, and I'm not playing on the spaced out DLC, which has like smaller planetoids. So like it incentivizes exploration, plus it also means like not every resource you need, like oil is not on the starting asteroid. You have to go to the next planet depending on which one you start on. You have to go to another planet to actually get there. And there's the good thing about the space DLC is that the base asteroid will have a teleporter to the neighboring one, so at least you can take one person over, teleporter recharges over time, and then they can, there's always going to be a frozen friend, and you unthaw them and you have two people there and you can go ahead and work to, you know, mine out whatever you need, whether the resources you're missing that are on that planet. So it's like, you could do that, which is fine. But of course, like the more planets you find, like the more CPU utilization it takes. Cause it's like, oh, now we have to calculate all the temperature stuff and airflow for that planet. It's like, oh, everything's going to tank now. I got to lower my frame rate, my resolution so I can have enough frames. But yeah. I was like, okay, I tend to like to, I don't mind the spaced out small size, but like I've just been running the vanilla size maps with the spaced out DLC. And it's like, for some reason, all my starting biomes have been like very vertical, not horizontal, which really annoys me. Or they'll be like very puddle blobby like. And so it's because typically I have like a base structure I like to use. But when like the biome to the right of me, that's like a, I don't know what they call them, but it's like a a really hot biome. And typically you want to wall that, insulate that off so the heat doesn't leak into your base. And it's like, okay, I can't put my ranches over here because they need to be like 100 tiles wide. Because now I've got this, like, and now I have to rework my base, and it just throws me off. I'm like, okay, because I'm used to, like, bedrooms go here, dining room goes here, kitchen's here, ranches here, bathrooms here. Like, I have, like, a basic layout I always do. And, like, having to change it, or, like, when I was playing the day, I had to do a mirror of that, and that threw me off. I was like, this looks so weird.
Everything's backwards.
It's like, yeah, if you ever play a game on mirror mode, it's like, it is just a brand new game, because you're like, what? I do hate the mirror modes where, like, it just mirrors the output so the gun is on the other side if it's a first person game. I'm like, they don't actually mirror. It's not like the game's mirrored, but your gun isn't. It's like, now we're just gonna, it's cheaper just to mirror the output, not to actually mirror the level. I'm like, come on, man. You didn't mirror the controls, like, why don't can't you do it the right way? But yeah, played Baldur's Gate, had a lot of fun. I streamed a ton of it yesterday, between like 4 hours. I wanted to try the camera. I was like, oh, you know, I'll try the camera on. Got some lighting so I could at least have good lighting and whatnot. And I, like, couldn't figure out. I linked up one of my other Google accounts to Twitch so I could do test streams to a different account, make sure everything's working properly, and then stream on my main one. That way I'm not troubleshooting, you know, while I'm live and whatnot. And my GPU utilization was just through the roof. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I couldn't figure it out. It was like, okay, troubleshooting that for like a long time. Like after an hour, it was just like, I realized at some point I must have turned on in graphics settings for Baldur's Gate. I just had it do detect at one point. Cause I was like, okay, well, let's just have it detect and I'll just rework it. But when you do that, it turns off DLSS because it's like, oh, you can render it 4K just fine. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to stream as well. So it's just like, once I turned that off and was like, okay, now I can turn some things from ultra to high and then put on DLSS. And it's like, then it finally worked. Plus I ran OBS as an administrator. So it puts at the top of the stack. So it gets all the resources it needs. Not that it uses a lot, but it's just like, because I had the camera, it's like, okay, now you're using, you have to render the camera. You have to compile it onto the thing. You have, you know, you're green screening out the background, yada, yada. It's like, okay. A little extra, but I got it to work, luckily. But yeah, I had the big thing that happened before I stopped playing earlier in the week was like, I was like, okay, I in Act 2, proper, not like proper, I was in technically Act 2 for a bit now, like earlier in the week, I think last podcast probably. I just didn't realize it. Because they're like, there's this, you can progress to Act 2 and still go back to the Act 1 areas. But what happens was it warns you initially if you didn't finish any side quests. So it's like, hey,
oh, yeah.
If you didn't finish a side quest, like if they're still in work or they're time sensitive or you didn't discover them, it's possible that depending on the type of quest it is, it's just going to go away. But I did everything, so it didn't matter. So it didn't tell me that when I went to the Underdark. And anyway, so I stopped at this point where it was like in this like Shadowlands, there's like this protective shield over this one village that these harpers have. And I'm like, I passed some checked. I helped save them from these shadow monsters. And they're like, oh, go talk to this person over here who's got the dome up the light. And I was like, okay, well, I'm about to go to bed, but I'll go talk to them real quick just to get over. And like doing that triggered a fight like immediately, you know, after a cutscene. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, well, I'm going to go to bed, but let's see what this fight's about. And like, so I do the fight and this dude is trying to kidnap this cleric. Take him off to some other bad guy. And he keeps trying to knock her down. And there's also these demons that come in and attack as well. I end up, fight's pretty easy, but he knocks out the character and that's like instant loss for the fight because then he just kidnaps her and runs away. But because she's gone, now the shield goes down. And then everybody there who's like, it's like a bunch of people, like if you rescue them earlier in Act 1, they're there. And then all the other characters who are there, like except for a couple, get turned to shadow monsters, so you have to fight them all. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But then I found out like there was, because I found Karlak so late, her quest line is to like find this blacksmith, and the blacksmith is at this grove in Act 1. But once you do like the main quest for the grove, he leaves. And so I didn't know that, so I thought like, oh, once I found Karlak, because I found her way late, I was like, oh, go talk to the blacksmith Damon. And I was like, who the hell is that? And I was like, but I already met him. I just didn't know it. And I'm like, okay. So I found him. He's in the town. And I talked to him once. He's like, oh, I can help you. Like, she has like this infernal engine as a heart. He's like, oh, I can help fix it. Looks like it's not working. And plus she's like always on like fire and super hot because of it. And she can't like touch anybody because of that. So he's like, oh, so I talked to him once. He's like, oh, I need some certain metal. And I had like two pieces of the special metal that I found. Luckily I never sold and you can't smith with it. There's like no smithing. And he's like, okay, I'll do this for you. So he fixes her heart. Like, okay, you're good. And then she's like, oh, I feel great. And he's like, okay, yeah, come back to me after I, you know, go to bed and I'll fix the other thing. So, but because I didn't rest and I did that fight, I found out like, oh, he dies if the cleric gets taken. So now I can't finish her quest, her personal quest. I'm like, okay.
Oops.
So let's go. I'm like, when I go back in, my goal is to now go talk to him. No, do a long rest. Talk to him. I had the funny, because I had a funny moment where when I went back to camp, the dog Scratch that was there, like he found a ball and he walks up to me like, oh, you see Scratch has a little rubber ball that's clearly covered in doggy drool. It doesn't look like he wants to relinquish it. And then like you have a bunch of options, like say, give me the ball and stuff like that. Or you can do like sleight of hand and try to take the ball. So like, oh, I'm just going to do sleight of hand because I got like proficiencies in that. And I rolled in that one and I was like, what? And then like instant fail. It's like, I can't sleight of hand the dog. Like I just re-rolled it, but I thought it was super funny. But then, yeah, so then I went back, I talked to the guy and I gave him the stuff and he fixes. Because alternatively, you can use that metal you give him to make armor. But the armor's not like, I did a quick save, checked to just see what the armor was like. And it's like, it's okay. Like if you didn't have Karlak, I guess you'd use the armor. But anyway, so I fixed Karlak. So now she can touch people. She's super happy about that. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to do this fight. If the cleric gets taken, I'm okay at least with the dude getting kidnapped. But so I was like curious. So I'm like, okay, well, I started doing like some testing. I was like, let's try putting a bunch of like explosives on the ground and then trigger the fight and then see if I can just blow all this up. I'm just curious what will happen. And it's like, I did that. He took a lot of damage, but so did like the character I'm trying to save, Isabel. And I'm like, okay, that was interesting. So let's go back. I'm like, what if I put them here? And like, I noticed he kept where he was standing was always in a different position. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, let's just set it for the fight and let's just do this fight. But I instead did it where I put a bunch of bomb traps where there's like these three demons who are also trying to beeline it to her and take her as well. And they come in through all these different doors. So I'm like, I put an oil barrel, some explosives out this door, some explosives out this door. And then like, as soon as the fight starts, my main character passes the initiative check because she's a ranger. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to shoot the explosives here, kill that demon, kill the other demon. Like the fight went super well. I'm like, hopefully nothing goes wrong. And luckily I ended up winning the fight. So I saved everybody, which is good, but it was like, not that it would have mattered because it's like, hey, whatever. Mm-hmm. I finished the Karlak quest. And then when I was exploring there, I ran across this one NPC who was like whining. Some tiefling was like, oh, my husband's gone or my lover, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, he got taken by these people going to the tower, which is like the objective you're trying to get to. And I'm like, do you want me to try to find him? And she's like, oh, you think you can find him? I was like, the hell, lady. I was like, I offer to give you assistance and you're like doubting me, my capabilities. I was like, do you know who I am? I'm the chosen one. No. But like, I just got so annoyed. Like I should cut the clip because it was just like, I was like, what the hell is this attitude about, man? But yeah, really, I'm loving the game. I got to this one point where it was like, I came across like this over leveled monster. And I'm like, let's see how this fight goes. It was like level 9. I'm like, my character's level 6, level cap's 12. So I'm like, let's see if I can fight this thing. And as soon as I get aggro, it's like he spawns a bunch of other enemies and then you get surprised. And I'm like, and surprise is a status effect where you lose your first turn. I'm like, well, I'm dead. Like, I'm not living this at all because there's like 10 adds. They're all going to attack. I can't do anything. And I'm like, yep. So I just, luckily I quick save for it. So I just quick load it. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to sit through losing this fight. I'm just going to quick load, get out of there. But yeah, it's a fun fight. I like games where when you save people, like you can see them later on. Like that, there was some, a little tiefling kid, like this, a group of like thieves who I was pretty friendly with when I first found them in Act One. And then I meet them later and like someone's like, the hell are you? Like they distrust me, they're super mad, but then the little kid tiefling comes by and's like, yeah, I know them, they're cool. And I'm like, oh, I like that kind of stuff, for like things you did early on pay off later in some fashion.
But yeah,
it's a really good time. But yeah, I'm so curious about just an evil playthrough, because there's so many conversation, like dialogue options, that I'm like, oh man, I want to say this so bad. But it's like, I wish it was kind of voice acted for your main character. It's not, but I'm like, I want to say this just to see what kind of reaction there is. Like, there was this guy who was like a tiefling who was from Act One, and he's like wallowing his sorrows, like whining about something at this bar. And I talked to him, and he's like all upset with me because he's like, oh, because of you, like two of my friends went off, and like he said their names, like, I don't even remember who those are, I'm sorry. Like, whatever. He's like, yeah, they wanted to join the cause, or I don't know, something weird, but they died, or they didn't die, but they got taken. And then it's like, one of the options, like, so you're just going to sit here and bitch about it and not do anything or something? But I didn't do that. I was like, I was taking very much like the, I'll go find them. And then he's like, no, you've done enough, I'll go do it. It's like, damn it, I should have picked the option where I told him to you know, toughen up and go save his friends. Yeah, but yeah, it's a good time. I really enjoyed the game. I'm glad finally, because now I've helped Karlak enough that our relationship, or at least the relationship meter, is in a good spot. So I'm like, romance options now can happen. And I was curious, like, in this game too, I was like, how many people can you romance? Like, who's fine with polyamory in this game? And then it was like, oh, most people, if you get to like stage one of the romance, you could do everybody. But once you get to stage two, they're like, they want to be the only ones. So I'm like, okay, I looked at it, I'm like, that's fine. I'm like, okay, I see all these folks, like, I don't need to romance them. I won't go there because I don't want it to be like that. I accidentally romanced Lyzelle. Like, she just came on to me. Like, that was one thing that was funny about the character. Like, she's just like, you know, there's a certain way I feel when I look at you, and yada yada. And I'm like, she's like, I want to know your scent and this and that. And like, I'm like, oh, whoa, you're coming on a little strong there. But let's see where this goes. And my character was so bruised and beaten after that too. It's like, did we like wrestle or did we do it? Like, I don't know what's going on, but it was funny. And then, because with the Shadow Heart one, it was just much just like sit by the moonlight, and then I think they kissed or something, and nothing further happened. But like, it feels really bad to like deject people too, because like there's this one dude you save, or you could save hypothetically. He's not a companion. I don't know if he can become a companion later, but like he's a pretty important NPC, and like he kind of likes you, and like you can like trying to turn people down, like, no, it's okay. Like, that happened with Lyzelle, where she's like, I think we should keep this going. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to, I got Karlak now, I want to go try that one out, and I don't want to keep, I don't know how this affects other people's opinions. Yeah, and so I'm like, I had to like let her down a little bit, but I think you might be able to like reignite relationships, but like Gail was, you know, I got like super high, you know, positive relationship status with him early on, just because of choices I made and whatnot, and I guess he was there pretty early, so that happened super easy. But yeah, he was very much like, hey, you know, it's like, no, I think we're good, you know. And I like that down, but I just feel so bad. I'm like, sorry, I'm just trying to focus on this other character right now, because like they do mention it, like they go, like, because she says, Lyzelle says, she knows that I spent a night with Shadowheart, and she's like, I'm surprised, like, she comments on it, so I'm like, I don't know. Because then it was funny though, because then when I told Lyzelle, like, hey, I don't want to go any further, she's like, oh, maybe I'll just jump Asterion and see if he can satisfy me. And then it goes by, and then I talked to her later, and you're like, so how'd it go? I was like, oh, it was good, you know, yada yada. And she comments like on her the night she had with Asterion, which is really funny. But yeah,
that's awesome.
It's just a fun game. Yeah. And like I said, there's so many. I like the personality. Like, I like Gale. You know, you obviously tend to like more positive personalities and not that everybody's negative. No one's really negative. They're just like, can be, you know, opinions that are very, might not be what you agree with. But like, Gale's really fun. Karlak's really fun. I haven't spent enough time with Will just because I got him so late. I'm sure he could be interesting. His character story seems really interesting. But yeah, I didn't want a warlock, because the way the warlock mechanics work the game, I'm like, I just don't know if I want to deal with that. I'd probably have to respec him to like a sorcerer or something, but or maybe just try the warlock and see how it goes, but yeah, it's a fun game. I look forward to play more. But yeah, it's like playing that game. I'm like, there's just so much. I got into an area where it was just like outdoors. Like I found an exit to it and like another region that was like another option I could have taken to get to where I was at right now. And my frame rate just took a dive. I was like, what the hell, man? Like, just went down. I was like, is it the foliage? I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it just got real bad. Apparently, like, Act 3 gets pretty bad, too, once you get to, like, actual Baldur's Gate. But I think they just need to work on CPU optimization for that. Digital Foundry did, like, analysis and found, like, hey, it's not working. It's not optimized as well as other games that have, like, dense populations. And for boosts in performance, you should expect from, like, hyper-threading and stuff like that. They're not seeing it. So I think that just needs to be tweaked a little bit. But yeah, it was just weird. I was like, I fixed it. I think I just dropped resolution down to like 1440p seemed to work, but which shouldn't affect CPU. But it, for some reason, it was just like, it could have been like maybe the monsters that were, because like I got into like a fight like almost immediately. And there was like a lot of enemies around. So maybe it could have been. I don't know. But it was just kind of odd. But,
just too much going on at once.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I'm going to end up streaming more today for a couple hours. I got to go drop off the kid. I just go spend some time with grandma. And the wife and the oldest are going to go to a play with the other grandma. So I'm just going to game for like 2 hours. do some streaming. But yeah, it's a good time. I like that game a lot. I'm really curious. I'm trying to think like what I want to do. What I'll do for the Isley playthrough if I end up trying. I'm hoping it's a nice drop in, drop out, because that'll just make it so easy, because I did definitely look forward to playing more. Because I'm also curious, like, because there's Twitch integrations where you can be like, hey, the Twitch chat can kind of vote on, I guess, I think it's like dialogue options, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like they vote on what you want to say. I'm curious how it goes in, because I forget what it's like in Divinity, because I think in Divinity, when we play co-op, whomever initiated the conversation with an NPC, I think they were in control, but because it wouldn't like pull you in, like you had to go walk over to them and they'd have like a little speech bubble if you wanted to hear the conversation. So I think it might work that way here too, but there's so many like cutscene conversations. I'm curious how it'll play. I'm also like, I'm way less thievery. I don't have so much thievery in this game as I do in Divinity. I'm like robbing everybody all the time. But like, I don't do it in this one. I don't know why. I think it's because the way it works in Divinity, it's based on your skill in thievery, and it calculates, you could either steal a certain amount of gold or like value or weight. And like, there's two bars for each. And once you get, if the bar gets red, it means you surpass your capacity at your current thieving level. So it's like, but you always steal. But like in this, it seems like depending on what I'm stealing, the dice roll I have to make to successfully steal it goes up. And I'm like, if I could actually see the dice roll in the, because like you only see dice rolls when you're in like conversations. You don't see them when you're like in combat. You can look in the combat log. If you click on like the attack, you can see all the back end dice rolls there if you were curious. It's like if you miss like a 95% chance to do something, go check the dice log. And you can see like, oh, did I roll a nat one or something? You can, if you're curious. But I don't steal anything because I don't want to get caught. So I'm like, I can't do the standard Divinity style of have one character talk to the NPC, the other characters talk to them, so that way their cone of vision doesn't see me when I'm sneaking. I guess you just save scum stealing, but because one guy had a sword. I was like, I want that sword just to try it out. Like I wasn't sure if it'd be good. So like, I want to test it, but I'm like, I don't want to buy it because then you won't buy it back for the same price. I guess I could just buy it, go do a fight and then come back, but looking forward to playing more. Good times for sure. Definitely fun game. And now I got to talk to Karlach, and yeah, it was fun too. Because once you like, you heal her, or you fix her, so now she can touch people. And it's like the options are like do nothing, I think like touch her shoulder or like give her a hug. And I'm like, give her a hug, man. Come on. So I give her a hug. And she's like, just super happy about it. She's like, thank you. So I was like, yeah, I she's a really cool character. I like her voice work as well. But anyways, I gotta stop blabbering because now I'm like, oh, I want to play this game, which I'll do in an hour. All right, well, we can go ahead and call it there then, and I'm sure I'll have more about. We'll probably talk about if there's any good trailers from Gamescom. Obviously, again, won't be any news, but and then just more Core Keeper and more Baldur's Gate, and maybe Isley will have played something by then. But because I know he's kind of bouncing around on what he wants to do. Man, the thing about streaming too is like I kept looking like, oh, if, obviously, you know, I have my laptop has a 3070, but it's like it's a mobile version, so it's like you're not gonna get the same wattage power that you would on like a desktop. And I was like, oh, well,
yeah,
how much would my performance increase if I got a desktop PC? And I started like looking at all these PC building sites and stuff and blah blah blah, and I was like, oh, I can get like I just do like a 4080, nothing crazy. It's only a couple of $100 more or whatever. I'll do this, get like a
nothing crazy.
Ryzen 9. And I'm like, I kept looking at so much and like all these pre-built sites. I'm like, oh, it's only like $2,300 and yada yada. But then I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing? Because there's like a lot of back to school deals.
Mine was only $1,300, I think, after fees and shipping and everything like that, and it's only now starting to show its age just a teeny bit.
Yeah, I mean, like there are some good pre-builds that still have like 3070s that are in that price range of like, you know, $1,300, $1,200. Like they're still cheap. Like when I bought my laptop, I bought it at around that price because it was discounted like $500, $600 whatever at the time. I was like, oh, if I could trade this in, that'd be fine. And like, but no one, I don't think anybody trades it. I was like, I guess I could just keep both. I still would want a laptop for if I go on like vacations. Not that I do that often, but it'd be nice to have the laptop still. But yeah, I was like, I guess what I could do is I don't need it. And it's, the only reason I was looking at it is because I was having the streaming issues. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't have this if I had a regular size GPU. But
welcome to PC gaming.
Right. Oh, man, that's like annoying me the most is like the troubleshooting stuff. I was like, come on, man. Like, this is why I'm like, once I'm done with BG3, I'm like, OK, now all the other games that I need to play, like Jedi Survivor, it's like I just can play those on PS5 and just stream and not worry about it with my laptop. It's like it's going to be so much better. And it's like, you know, or, you know, if I played something small or whatever. But yeah, it's just like, man, it'd be so much easier once it's like going back and playing console games and then streaming that, like, because I have all the stuff I need to, you know, because I already had the capture card. I bought an Elgato, what was it, the Chatlink Pro, to kind of, because there was some audio stuff, like certain things that you had to kind of work around to get it to capture properly. I was like, okay, I get Chatlink Pro, that's fine. And then so that's all good. It's just I gotta finish playing BG3. But yeah, because I was like, oh, well, I guess if I could wait, when do they expect like the next 50 series? When will NVIDIA 5000 series cards come out? They're expected spring of 2025. Okay, never mind. I was going to say, I thought for some reason I was thinking like it was an Apple thing, like it would happen this year. I was like, oh, well, I could just wait and the 40 series will go down in price and yada yada. But I don't know. My problem is once I start looking at stuff, then I start like I got a ring light, so I was like, because it was on sale. I was like, oh sure, why not?
Well, it's on sale, I might as well.
I know now why Dr. Disrespect wears glasses when he streams, because like if you got lights just in your face the whole time, I was like, my god, I was like, I need glasses. Like sunglasses, man. But yeah, it's like I don't know how anybody can. And people who like mount the cameras in the ring light and like look at it. I'm like I only had it at like, what did I have it at? Let me turn it on. It's also kind of annoying that it's not connected via USB. It's only over Wi-Fi. So that's the weird. So like there's a lag, but like I had it on like last night at 40% at like 5100 temp. So I like tried to turn my webcam ISO like way down. It was so weird. Like the auto balance on the ISO was so weird. I was like, I kept turning it way up. I was like, if I turn it down, I look fine. I get really green. Like I don't need to be super bright, but it was just, I don't know what was, I think the software was just acting up. But, and then I was having weird issues where like the camera kept cutting out from the feed in OBS. I was like, what is happening here? But then there's an update on the camera, so I just updated it and it seemed to fix it. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I did download the proper firmware and drivers, yada yada. But yeah, the light though, oh, I looked at it. It's so bright. I tried to turn it around to be like, okay, well, if I shine it against the wall, it's just the problem is I'm in a corner. So it's like if I was against the flat wall, then I could just turn it around, shine it at the wall, and that'd be a little softer. I suppose I could still do that, I guess, if I wasn't using the face cam and had like an actual, like, you know, DSLR or something, then maybe it'd be a little easier, like get a good quality thing. But it's not enough light bounce to get that there. I wonder if I moved it over here. Yeah, because I originally thought like, oh, if I got key lights, I could put like way in the corner over there, or put them both on the sides of my monitor, come down, but then I'd have just two. It's just, I'm thinking I might move my monitor down, because what I did is instead of having the ring light like right above the monitor, I lifted up max and then I tilted it down so it's more like a softbox or light box. And then I scooted my monitor down some to kind of bring the camera more to eye level, because it's just mounted on the top of the monitor. And also that way I'm not looking directly at, it was so weird, like whenever I get up last night, like go AFK and I come back, I go in the kitchen to get a snack and I come back and the hallway is just like lit up because the ring light is just like, I'm like, damn, man. I was like, what's it look like outside in the window? Like, it's like super bright or something? Like, what's going on there? It's like, man, come on. So I got to work that out and figure how I want to get, not blind myself. I'm like, I don't know how people do this for prolonged periods of time with just tons of lights on. But I'll work it out anyways. All right, well, go ahead and wrap it there before I keep talking about wanting to buy a PC and the man to buy a PC or something. But anyways, all right, well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Isaiah, for joining. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you all next time.